when you have a relationship with yourself, there's a line in the sand that you have to draw where you can look at yourself and you can say, good job, you. The same way you would with like a relationship that you'd have with a girlfriend or something, or a boyfriend, or you want to be able to have a relationship with yourself where you care about yourself. And that's the best reason to get out of your head possible. Because in a lot of ways, if you get stuck in your head, you're telling yourself you suck. At least for me, getting out of your head is the prerequisite to starting to fix that relationship with yourself. Hey everybody, it's Leviathan. I want to talk about getting stuck in your head, because I was stuck in my head, and I still get stuck in my head all the time, but I've been working to stop. Every single day I'm getting progressively better at it, and I want to share some thoughts about it. So what does it mean to get stuck in your head? Well, there are a lot of different interpretations, but for me, the biggest proponent of it and indicator of it is when I start to think about things that aren't actually real. So I'll give you a fantastic example. I recently started negotiating with a buddy of mine about a potential opportunity with a client, and that opportunity would require me to fly across the country to go make some money and then fly back. In the event that I'm able to do that, you know, obviously I have to make a lot of decisions on the small scale about the logistics of that and what that's going to look like, how I'm going to fly there, fly back, where I'm going to stay, am I going to get a rental car? And there's a lot of moving pieces in something like this, right? Well, if I start to get caught up on all of the little micro things, the small, nitty gritty things, like if the plane is going to go down or if the rental car is going to break down, and I start to think about all of the different ways things could go wrong, or I start to focus and fixate on all the little small things, what starts to happen is I start to slow down, or at least for me, and I start to focus on all of the little things that, it's not that they don't matter, but there are things in the world that we can't control and we can't predict. And when I start to overthink, what I do is I start to focus on the things that I literally couldn't possibly control. Like there's no way I could control it. And I know I couldn't control it. But instead, I just focus and fixate on those things. And I start to slow down my momentum when it comes to either planning or predicting or calculating a plan or a thing or something, whether that's goals towards my future or it's a business opportunity or something like that. As soon as I start conflating the things that I cannot control with the things I can control, everything starts to just become a muddy mess and I lose sight of what I'm actually capable of. At what point am I just a victim to circumstances that I can't control in my head? And at what point do I actually dictate my circumstances? At what point am I able to move my feet and make a difference in my life? As soon as I lose sight of that, that's when things get really, really messy. And keep in mind, all of this stuff is all in my head. And what I literally mean is at no point when I start thinking of statistics of plane issues and whether or not the weather is going to happen and it's going to delay my flight and I'm going to get stuck laid over. Like if I start thinking about all this stuff, I forget that I'm still in my head. None of that's happened. Nothing's actually transpired. Nothing's happened at all. I'm just imagining things that aren't real. And as soon as I start picturing things that aren't real as if they are real, and I start playing with 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 boxes that contain Schrodinger's cat, I get very bogged down and slowed down. And it happens usually not instantly. It usually happens to me subconsciously because it just happens to be a rut that I naturally fall into if I'm not careful. And this all doesn't take into account the assumption that I'm overthinking, because obviously at some point you have to have a cutoff where you just say, I can't think about this thing anymore. Let's say you're planning to take a job and that job requires you to move. Well, that job and the move have a lot of small logistics and you can't possibly predict how everything is going to go perfectly. It's just not possible. Like you need to do a little bit of housekeeping. You know, you need to make sure your stuff's organized and make sure that you can get a U-Haul and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, you don't have the ability to know every single little thing that's going to happen. Crap happens in life that we don't have control of, but it also doesn't happen in a predictable enough way that we can stop what we're doing Because all we're doing at that point is bowing down to the unpredictable. And at that point, yeah, you'd feel like your life was spiraling out of control because it's like all the things in life that are unpredictable are stopping me. And it's like, that doesn't bode well at all. Another really dangerous thing about being stuck in our head is that it tricks our brain into thinking that we're actually doing something. So a good example too is if I was thinking about starting this podcast, if I thought about starting this podcast for a very long time, but didn't actually start it, and thinking about starting it, shockingly enough, and talking about starting it caused the same kind of reward pathways, at least it feels like it to me. It caused the same kind of reward in me to talk about it as it did to do it. But the problem is I wasn't actually doing it. So if I said, oh, I have this idea for a podcast and this is what I want to do and I'm really, really interested in it, and I start thinking of all the logistics and I start going, oh, what if I did this and what if I did this? Well, eventually, even though those are things I can control, I'm still not doing the things. I'm just talking about doing the things. And that can be a very terrifying substitute for actually doing it. Because if there's things I really need to do, instead of doing them, I just think about doing them or talk about doing them, and eventually the desire goes away and I haven't actually done anything. And that gets really problematic when I set commitments with people where I commit to something and then I say, oh yeah, I'll do this and do this and do this and do this. But the problem is I didn't do anything. I just said I did all those things or would do all those things, but I never actually did them. And now the desire to do them or the urge to do them has gone away, and all I'm left with is a commitment and a hole and no desire to do them. So this whole thing's a mess. It's a mess. And it happens to a lot of people. It happened to me. It naturally happens to me. So how does this even happen? I think almost exclusively for me, in 99% of cases, it happens to me because of my environment. 99% of the time. And I'll explain why in a second. But for me, 99.9% of times I've ever gotten stuck in my head, it is because I've been in an environment in which it's extremely difficult for me to feel like I can do things without planning them out word for word, one at a time. And it could also be because I've been in environments where I feel like I'm just not capable, like something like that. So the problem of environment is massive because it's really challenging for us to fix it, because oftentimes we're in an environment that we get so deeply stuck in. And I don't even mean practically. I mean, we take up responsibilities that keep us in a location or in a place where we're committed to, like our spouse or our kids or our community or our job or something. And we get stuck in an environment. Most of the environments that I've been in that have made it hard for me to do things have been, in my case, partly my own making, because I've allowed people to push me around enough that I lost the precedent that I could do things again. In a lot of the career directions I've taken up to this point, I've set myself up in such a way where there is a precedent that I can be pushed around, which then removes the ability for me to make decisions consciously. And as soon as I stop believing about myself that I can make decisions about my own life and act and do things in my own life, that I'm capable of handling those things, then what starts to happen is I start to spiral down into my head again. What can also happen, and I've discussed this on other episodes, is you can start to believe that you can't actually handle the consequences of messing something up or of the instability that happens with not predicting something. So if I try to predict out exactly how, let's say, moving to a new state to take a job or something like that, well, there's little nuances in there that you can't control. And that's just how the world is. Like, God forbid, like you get in a car accident, or you could blow a tire on a U-Haul, or, you know, you might miss a bill or something like that. You might have underestimated how much it was going to cost for something on the way, or you might have accidents happen. Things happen in life. And if there's this fundamental belief that you can't actually handle whatever's going to come your way that you don't have control over, you're way more likely to try to overthink things so that you have the highest chance of accounting for every possible situation so that you don't have to worry about not being able to handle something, because you already took into account the thing that could go wrong. The problem with that is that it's a completely unending spiral. Like I said, it doesn't take into account any empirical evidence whatsoever because you haven't actually done it before. I got on a plane for the first time a couple of weeks ago, And if I had sat there paranoid about all the different ways something could go wrong, which actually naturally happened for me. But if I sat there the whole time and was like, I can't do this. What if I screw up something and I, you know, they scan me at TSA and they say, you can't take that, and they freak out or something. Or what if I get stuck in during my layover and I miss my flight? Like, if I sit there and think about all the things that could go wrong the whole time, I'm not only going to worry myself about things I literally cannot control because I didn't know beforehand, but I'm also downplaying my ability to actually handle things. If I sit there and worry about all this stuff, what I'm saying to myself is I can't handle whatever happens with these things if they go wrong. And that's not a healthy mindset to be in, because it's just one of shutting your mind down. At least for me, it's me downplaying what I can actually do. And I'll say this as well. I've met some people that have this. After this happens long enough, there's actually this kind of terrifying thing that can happen as well, where we start to commit to this world we build in our head. I've done this before, where once you spend, it's not even so much the belief system. If you start to really spiral in your head and you're like, I can't, because I don't know what to do. And it gets really, really terrifying. And you're anxious about all these things you can't control. What can start to happen is if you're there long enough, like literally, if you spend enough physical time, like months or years in that headspace, you then completely take all of that belief about your inability to do stuff into your own personality. And then all of a sudden, like you've committed to that idea, and breaking the commitment to that idea is like a core memory or a core value that you can't do something. And that is where it can get really, really scary, because you could go do something huge. But doing something huge doesn't change a core value that you still can't see. And that's like, there, you're stuck. Like that, it's like you can break out of that thing, but it's going to take a really long time to break the core value and the core belief system you have about yourself that you can't. And that's been my experience. So what does it look like to leave our head? What does it look like to break out of the cycle? Well, almost always there's discomfort. Now, there's discomfort when I'm in my head anyways, because the whole time I'm anxious and nervous because I'm thinking about things I can't control. But what tends to happen is when I get out of my head, I'm uncomfortable because I'm actually facing things that I don't know if I can control. If I have to go make hundreds of dollars to pay for a bill, and instead of thinking about it and being like, how am I going to do it? I actually go do the things that I'm hoping are going to do that are going to make the money. I'm still uncomfortable, but the difference is that I'm uncomfortable because I'm literally staring the tiger in the mouth. I'm actually going out and doing the thing. And so the uncomfortable, it's uncomfortable because I'm going out and getting the empirical evidence to prove to myself if I can or cannot. And that discomfort is a very different kind of discomfort than one in which I'm just anxious because I don't know if I can handle something. In this case, I'm testing if I can handle something, and that makes me uncomfortable because I'm proving to myself if I can or I can't. It's also extremely unpredictable out of your head, because that's actually how the world works, and that's actually the counter argument and the antithesis to why, at least for me, I get stuck in my head, is because I'm trying to predict the world, which I literally can't. So as soon as I leave my head, I go, oh, wait a second. I literally can't predict what's going to happen. I have no way of predicting. It's impossible. And so the world becomes unpredictable in the exact opposite way that we want it to be predictable in our head. Now, it's not so unpredictable that we can't handle it. At least for me, that's a fundamental belief I'm attempting to sort of cultivate with myself. But it is 100%. There's kind of like a line that we can surf, or a tightrope we can walk, where life is just predictable enough that we can understand what's going to happen tomorrow, but it's not predictable enough to be 100% predictable. In a lot of ways, I think all of us go out and get jobs, and that accounts for 10 to 12 hours of our day. And so we don't have to worry about the unpredictability of life, because our life tends to be planned for us, because we set these environments up that generally speaking tend to be predictable. But the thing is that sometimes we need to leave. Sometimes we need to move on. Sometimes we're stuck because we're in an environment and we have to go on to the next thing, and we have no idea what we're supposed to do or what comes next. And we currently live in a relatively predictable environment, but we have to leave the predictable and go into the unpredictable for things to improve, for things to get better. And no amount of predicting what's going to happen in the future is going to make up for the need to still jump into it. And I will say this as well. When we try to make a predictable future and in our head and sit there and use our ego and our mind to go, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen. Here's all the statistics and the chances things are going to go right and go wrong. Even if we were to do that, I will just say from my experience, there have been times when I go and execute a plan that I could put 99% efficacy into, and it turns out half of what I thought was completely wrong, completely incorrect. And how does that make me feel about myself? Kind of dumb. Because I felt kind of smart that I made this plan that was going to go this way, and I spent days and weeks and months planning it only for it to all fall through anyways, right? There's a level of inflexibility that can happen when we get stuck in our head, because instead of just, if we can accept that there's nuance to life, we won't waste time trying to plan things in life that we literally can't predict, which hits our pride when we're wrong anyway. It's just a waste of time. Something else about life I've learned that happens when we get stuck in our head is we're worried that when we leave our head and go do things in the world, that everything is all bad or all good. There's this fear that it's going to be the absolute best or the absolute worst. And we sort of take what we think is going to happen and we move it to absolute extremes. We think we're going to go get in a plane. It's going to come down. You know, it's going to crash when we go on a plane. And we think that we go to a different state, we're going to go get mugged, or all our stuff's going to get stolen, or our car's going to break down. It's like we worry about the extremes. You can prevent them. Like, you can put air in your tires, but they can still blow. Like, it can still happen. You can't know when you get on a plane. If you're just sitting on the plane and something terrible happens, God forbid, it's like, it's not something that you can sit there and try to predict, because you don't have nearly the agency over it that you think you do. And extremes don't happen as often as we think they do. And to be completely honest, even if extremes happen as often as we think that they did, then at some point you have to start asking yourself the question of, is life worth living if it risks those extremes anyway? Every single day, horrible things happen where people get into car accidents, for instance, but everybody still has to get in a car. Everybody still has to get in a car to go, or at least get in some vehicle, most likely to transport themselves to work or around town or to get around, right? We still take risks because we still recognize the fact that life is something that demands risk-taking from us in order to live, in order to have life. If we try to live life like it's a rubber room, it's very hard to have a fulfilling life living in a rubber room. I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like. There's no challenge. It's just boring because you're not actually experiencing any real conflict, I'd say, other than internal conflict. At least for me, I don't think that rubber room living, it's just boring. You're just a zombie. Like, you age and that's it. You sit in a room, watch YouTube or something, and sit in a rubber room and eat grapes until you die. And how fulfilling of a life was that? It wasn't. It's just, you're just a zombie. And at least for me, I don't want that. I don't think that that's the kind of, I don't think that's why we're here. I don't think that's what we're meant to get out of life. And the people that actually get something out of life and have made something of themselves in their career and of their relationships, they don't just do that. No person that anyone has ever looked up to in their life lived their life like they were in a rubber room where they minimize all extremes and all danger. You still got to be cognizant, like you still got to use your brain cells, but you don't need to take everything to extremes and then not do something because of the risk of an extreme thing happening. The last thing as well, which I may have touched on before, was this thought process of, when we are out of our head, we're actually getting the empirical data that proves to ourselves if we can do it or not. And for me, 99% of the time, almost every time I've ever tried to do something out of my head, it always was positive empirical data. Because remember, I couldn't have predicted what things were going to be like without having that data to begin with. So if I sit there and I'm trying to decide what I want to do for my career or in my relationship, my marriage, where I want to go, what I want to do in my life, if I sit here and I try to guess, I'm only guessing based on empirical data that I've either seen or I've experienced. This is one of the reasons that I'm extremely disappointed with the education system, because they sort of funnel every student at 16 and 17 years old into like 5 to 10 different career paths when these guys literally don't even know like what's out there. And they're like, you want to get a business degree? You want to get a communications degree? You want to go work in, you want to be a coder? You want to code for Amazon? Like, there's so many more opportunities and life is so much bigger and nuanced. At the same time, we only can make decisions with the information that we actually have based on the experiences we've had, or even the data we've researched. Like, you can do research and that's good enough, right? So you do research, that's still something. But if you want to do a business, you want to start a business. I'm in a situation right now where I'm going to have to be starting. I'm not going to have to be starting. I'm in a situation right now where I am starting a lot of stuff that scares me. There's no way for me to sit around and be like, well, I wonder if this is going to work. I wonder how this is going to go. I hope this goes okay. There's no way for me to be able to know if something is a good idea without at least doing it, because I can't predict. There's no model for predicting like what's going to happen. If I have a product I want to sell somebody and I'm like, oh, they're definitely going to want this. Okay, well, what if I go to, I can't know that they're actually going to want it until I try to sell it to them and I get a no or a yes or, oh yeah, let's talk about that. Or I would buy it if it was slightly different or if it was cheaper. Like, there's no way to actually, at some point you have to put rubber to the road. And when you get stuck in your own head, you're, at least for me, I'm thinking about all of these things that I don't have information on, data on, control over, or anything like that. And if I actually go out and do things and shut my brain off, which I'll talk about in a second, I shut my brain off and I actually go do stuff, it forces my brain to have to take all of the information in, and then I have to reevaluate all of the thinking I'm doing. So what's funny about overthinking for me is, when I start to actually get out of my head and do stuff, all the overthinking was based on information that I didn't have, that I sort of fabricated in my head. And so if I go out and actually do stuff, all of a sudden it totally breaks me out. At least for me, it breaks me out of all of these things that I thought were dangerous or not dangerous or whatever. So like I said, I got on a plane. Me getting on multiple planes and me doing a layover for like a couple hours in a totally different state all by myself proved to me I could do it. So if I sat there and told myself, I don't know if I can do this. What happens if I get stuck? What happens if I sit there? Because that's my natural inclination to sit there and say that to myself. If I could say that all I want. I could say all I want. If I still do it, my brain now has evidence that I did it. And now it's gonna go, oh, well, I was able to do it. So maybe I can do it again. Because I clearly did it this first time and it went pretty good. So the odds that I can do it again are higher than zero, because they were zero before, because I fabricated the idea that I couldn't. See? So how do we get out of our heads? How do I get out of my head? Every single time, it's the exact same way, fortunately. Which is, I stop predicting things and I start doing things, and I do both of them at the same time. Because if I start doing things without predicting them, what it does is it forces my brain to stop being able to depend on fabricated information or maybe a statistic that I still haven't lived through. Let's say like a statistic about how it's very dangerous to drive a car because you could get in an accident. Okay, well, if I sit there and I get in my car every single day and think about the statistical chance that I could get in an accident, that doesn't do me any good. So instead, I get in my car and I stop predicting whether or not I'm going to have some horrible catastrophe happen in my car, right? I don't think about that. When I have to talk to people and I have to have these interactions with people that maybe they have high stakes, maybe their business opportunities. Maybe I'm strengthening my relationships with some colleagues or some friends or something like that. If I have to have a really hard conversation, or if I have to do something I really don't want to do, and I could think out a couple different ways it could go, but at the end of the day, I have to say I cannot predict this thing any further than I've already predicted it, because I don't have the information, I don't have the evidence, there's no way for me to know what's going to happen, and I call it, and I have maybe a couple predictions, and I stop, and then I actually go do the thing that I tried to predict was going to go a certain way, and then I compare what my prediction was to how it went. And I find, for me, what's really funny is almost every time I'm actually wrong. Almost every time, not entirely. I mean, it depends on if it's black and white. Like, will you survive a thing? Okay, well, that's pretty simple. But if I'm trying to predict how a certain interaction is going to go, life is so nuanced that it's very hard to actually predict that stuff. And so what I do is I try to say, how is this thing going to go? And the answer is, I don't know, but here's a couple of options. I'll roll with that. and say, okay. And then I will literally, like, it's almost like a dog turning off its nose. It's like, I just turn the brain off. I just flip the switch and I say, I'm not going to think about this anymore. And don't get me wrong. It still makes me anxious because I'm still walking into the unknown. The difference is that it strengthens the same way you go to the gym. It strengthens my ability for me to feel like I could handle the unknown, because you literally have to go into the unknown and you have to handle the unpredictable in order to get the empirical evidence to get out of your head. I want to finish with the consequences for not leaving our head, because we tend to get kind of comfortable in our head because it's our comfort zone. And you could really think in a lot of ways of being stuck in our head as just being in your mental comfort zone, I guess, if that makes sense. And for me, there's a really pernicious thing where we don't like to think about the consequences of what happens when we get stuck in our head. But what's really ironic is that we spend a lot of time trying to predict what's going on in the future. And we do this to a degree that gets us stuck because we're spending too much time predicting what we can't predict. What's hilarious is that getting stuck in our head, if we stay stuck, it is a 100% prediction rate what's going to happen. The passive decision to not act on whatever it is that you need to act on has a 100% success/fail rate, which is that you'll just keep getting whatever you're getting. For me, when I get stuck in my head, it has to do with a lack of action from me. And that lack of action results in me being frustrated with something in my personal life. A really simple example would be like me not going to the gym. So I don't go to the gym because I keep thinking about what it's going to be like and how hard it's going to be. And everybody's going to make fun of me and all this crap, which isn't true. It's just fabricated based on my insecurities and all that. The consequences of me not going to the gym have a 100% fail rate of me not going to the gym. And it's like 100% predictable, because the whole reason that I'm not going to the gym is because I'm not going to the gym. You see, it's like it's a 100% fail rate. So if you're stuck in your head, at some point you have to decide to just call it and say, this is how it is. I'm not going to go to the gym. Just give up. Instead of wishing you could go to the gym and thinking about it and like watching exercise videos and like looking into workouts and doing like research on diet, but then like not eating, I've done all that stuff. And it's like, if I sit there and do that crap for like days and days and days and weeks of my life, but I never actually execute, at some point I should just call it and just say, you know what? I don't care. And just let myself go. That's what people do sometimes. And that's their decision, right? But then they don't sit there in the agony and the pain and the mental torture of wishing they could, but they can't. They're wishing they could, but they can't, right? And it's like, it's better to just let it go and to let go and accept that you're not going to go to the gym and just say, I'm never going, and just accept it. And then you're not even stuck in your head anymore, but you did fail. You failed to yourself because it was a goal that you had and you let it go. And over time, maybe you can sort of decide, you know what, it wasn't a failure, because instead you found better ways to spend your time. Maybe you started businesses instead, or you overhauled your work and your career. And so you did something with it. So it wasn't just a complete waste of time. It was like, nope, you found something more valuable in the long term and you're trying to watch your diet. And so you're doing something about it, and that's fine. Or there's always the alternative of actually getting out of your head and shutting your brain off and saying, I don't know what's going to happen when I go into the gym. I don't know. There could be some hot person there that's really attractive, and I could start sweating buckets because I want to say something, but don't know what to say. And I don't even know what exercises to do. And my form is garbage because I haven't lifted since high school. And you could lose your mind. I've had panic attacks going to the gym. This is real. I had a panic attack going to the gym a couple years ago because I was really mad at my crazy roommate in 2020. I was insanely angry at my crazy roommate and decided I was going to go to the gym on a rip to get my emotions out. But my heart rate was through the roof because I was so anxious. I went over to, I think, one of the leg, I forget what it's called. I think it's a leg extension machine. You can tell I don't use these machines very often. I usually just do regular free weights, but it was one of those leg extension machines. I start doing leg extensions and I about black out because I'm having a panic attack at the gym. It's like, this has happened to me before. It's like, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't, but you showed up. Like, that's what matters. And it's like, you can find, there's a line in the sand when you have a relationship with yourself. There's a line in the sand that you have to draw where you can look at yourself and you can say, good job, you. The same way you would with like a relationship that you'd have with a girlfriend or something, or a boyfriend or anybody, or a significant other. It's like, if you You want to be able to have a relationship with yourself where you care about yourself. And that's the best reason to get out of your head possible. Because in a lot of ways, if you get stuck in your head, you're telling yourself you suck, at least for me. And getting out of your head is the prerequisite to starting to fix that relationship with yourself. At least for me, it's like I don't suck because I came to the gym and I couldn't lift any of the weights past 15-pound, 20-pound dumbbells, but it doesn't matter because I showed up for the third day in a row. And that's more than many people can say. And it makes me feel good about myself because I didn't want to go all 3 days. It's like you can do that. And then you respect yourself because you showed yourself you could. And now that you've done it 3 times and you did it without motivation because you did it on a rip all 3 times, you said, I'm going to the gym. I feel like crap. I want to go to bed. I want to take a nap. I want to go to sleep. I want to eat some ice cream and some donuts and watch Netflix. But I went anyway. And it's like over time, you will build a relationship with yourself that's like so potent and powerful. It's very similar to how you build a marriage, where when you build a marriage, you build a relationship with somebody for the rest of your life. And so every single day that you spend ages that marriage like a wine every single day, to the point where I've now been through unbelievable garbage with my wife for over 5 years. And it's like, I feel like I could weather any storm with her because I've weathered so many. See, there's a line in the sand that you have to draw where you can look at yourself and you can say, good job, you. The same way you would with like a relationship that you'd have with a girlfriend or something, or a boyfriend or anybody, or a significant other. It's like if you want to be able to have a relationship with yourself where you care about yourself. And that's the best reason to get out of your head possible. Because in a lot of ways, if you get stuck in your head, you're telling yourself you suck, at least for me. And getting out of your head is the prerequisite to starting to fix that relationship with yourself. At least for me, it's like I don't suck because I came to the gym and I couldn't lift any of the weights past 15-pound, 20-pound dumbbells, but it doesn't matter because I showed up for the third day in a row. And that's more than many people can say. And it makes me feel good about myself because I didn't want to go all 3 days. It's like you can do that. And then you respect yourself because you showed yourself you could. And now that you've done it 3 times and you did it without motivation because you did it on a rip all 3 times, you said, I'm going to the gym. I feel like crap. I want to go to bed. I want to take a nap. I want to go to sleep. I want to eat some ice cream and some donuts and watch Netflix. But I went anyway. And it's like over time, you will build a relationship with yourself that's like so potent and powerful. It's very similar to how you build a marriage, where when you build a marriage, you build a relationship with somebody for the rest of your life. And so every single day that you spend ages that marriage like a wine every single day, to the point where I've now been through unbelievable garbage with my wife for over 5 years. And it's like, I feel like I could weather any storm with her because I've weathered so many. See, well, you can have the same relationship with yourself. But the difference is that often, especially when it comes to person versus self conflicts, you have to actually go out and experience the storm. And oftentimes those storms are self-inflicted. Oftentimes you have to go out and you have to do something that you want to do, but you're telling yourself you can't do. Those storms, if you weather those, it will completely change your belief in what you're capable of. And it will demonstrate to other people that you can. And it'll also demonstrate to you that you can. I'll see you on the other side.